The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, we discuss
the Jewish lady voice.
Justin and Katie describe the land of wild and wonderful and why it sucks serving beer there. I'm Sean Holmes. Strap in and sit tight, because you are boldly going nowhere.
Just say schmatzes.
Schnatzes? Schnatzes?
No, schwatzes.
Schwatzes? Schwatzes?
No, it's schwatzes.
Schwatzes.
Alright, if you're gonna learn to speak...
I'm a horrible Jewish lady.
Yeah, if you're gonna perfect your Jewish lady act, you gotta learn how to say schwatzes.
Schwatzes.
It's spelled Schwartzes.
Schwartzes?
S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z.
Uh-huh.
But in German, a W is pronounced as V.
Schwatzes.
Yeah.
Schwatzes.
Yeah, schwatzes.
Sean, don't you know any better? Didn't you ever see the movie Blazing Saddles? Schwatzes.
Yeah.
La la la.
Schwatzes.
Sag dich mit Sugar.
Schwatzes.
They darker than us. Oh, Mel Brooks, you racist motherfucker.
That's like my favorite part of the movie.
Blazing Saddles was the Django Unchained of the 70s, wasn't it?
If there was one Jewish representative,
Django,
it would be Mel Brooks.
That was my favorite part, the Jewish Native American.
Schwatzes.
Wasn't gay. I do that about... probably once a day, just when no one's around. It's awesome gay.
Justin, you done the shower? It's
awesome gay.
I don't even know what that means, but it just sounds funny. I just love doing that.
Don't you have your handy dandy Yiddish to English translation book or something?
No, but I should get one.
Yeah, you should.
There's a restaurant, Suburban House, where the placemats have all these Yiddish phrases on them.
Really?
Yeah, they teach you a bunch of useful Yiddish phrases.
So. I know what schmutz is.
Yeah, I got some schmutz on my jacket right here.
You got schmutz in your child beard. I always get schmutz in whatever I wear.
There's some schmutz on my jacket right there.
You got schmutz in your child beard.
I say about 90% of the Yiddish words I know I learned from Weird Al.
Good, and the rest you can learn from me.
The more you know.
Actually, that would be a great t-shirt.
If I didn't sound stupid,
I learned
if I didn't
Yiddish
sound like
from
too much
Weird Al
right there.
That's pretty long to put on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
That's fucked up. That's
fakakta.
It's fakakta.
See, I'm going to have to be like your coach for this, Sean.
No, please don't.
Your consultant.
You really don't.
I'm sorry, I'm shipping around.
He's got the voice. He just needs to get the terminology down.
I understand how bad it is that you're
encouraging
me. Maybe I should like spend like a week in Long Island or in the Catskills.
How's the Canadles? Could we get some semen and looks?
With a D, Canadle.
Canadle?
That's matzo ball soup. Canadle soup.
Canadle soup?
This actually now kind of sounds like my bubby.
Come give me a bubby a hug! $14.95? Are you serious? Way too expensive!
Not so much. But when you say Canadle...
No, see? This,
Canadle!
This is what you get! I told you don't encourage it, and look what you did.
I like it. I think it's hilarious. Cracks me up.
Dreidel's actually made out of polyurethane. Not out of clay. It breaks apart.
Can you just say, Jeffrey, put that back, it's too expensive again?
Put that back, it's too expensive!
Mom, I'm 32, I'll do what I want!
No, you're not! Get back in your room! I hate you. You're awful. You're awful. Georgie, your father's awful for not wearing a condom.
Wow.
Well, I just got...
The only holy thing that night was Trojan.
That just got dark.
Oh, by the way, welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere.
Oh, we've been recording?
Yes! I asked in my low voice, just regular voice, are we recording? No one answered me. I was like, okay, so I pressed the record button.
You tricked us into...
No, you didn't listen to me.
The funny thing was, I saw him do it, and I was just... I knew where the conversation was going. I was just like, no, I'm just going to let it happen.
Chris and Kyle just look at me like, you just did that. I'm like,
you. Damn you.
Well, let me say, Sean, it's really an honor to have been here in live audience for the taping of your hideously offensive Jewish woman accent.
Which I signed off on, so.
It's been Jew approved. It's been approved by the Jew crew.
Now I could just say I can vault.
All one.
I can vault.
Oh wow.
Could you say I can vault, my gout is flaring up?
I can vault, my gout is flaring up?
Yeah.
I can vault, my gout is flaring up.
Okay, I think we're done now.
Horrible hemorrhoids.
Alright, the funny thing is that only so many people actually know the story about how this actually started.
Oh.
Yeah. You know you gotta tell
the
story.
Now you have to tell it.
Yeah, now you have to tell the story.
Oh, no. I think, Colin, you brought it up, so.
Okay. So, alright. So, Sean originally was the one who started the voice. He was on an excursion with a friend of his, and they were at the Smithsonian, was it the Air and Space Museum?
Oh, that story. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
That story.
I thought you were going to go all the way back to when... Well, not when the voice started, but when the Jew jokes got started at FCC.
No. I'm not talking about...
I just said I would have to make a note to say, put this as explicit material.
Yes. Oh, yes. If we went into that story, yes, we would.
Do we have time to get into that?
It's a quick story. I mean, it's basically he went to the Smithsonian. He walks... you basically were... Him and his friend were in the cafeteria, and this woman walks up, and she's berating her child for taking a... Like,
have you ever seen Eight Crazy Nights? Have you seen the old Jewish couple in Eight Crazy Nights?
I've seen enough people making fun of it on the internet in video form.
Yeah,
to get the gist.
Yeah.
We did talk enough about this.
This lady visually quite on par to the real life version. And I was like, she can't sound the way she looks. That's not possible. And then she yelled across the cafeteria aisle to her younger son, who was about to pick up, you know, the expensive cafeteria food that you find in the Smithsonian.
Jeffrey, put that pizza down.
Why, Mom?
It's too expensive.
Why are you just trying?
You already have the pretzel. Put it away.
I'm just bawling laughing. I almost dropped my, you know, my Jell-O off of the trail. Jingling everywhere. I was almost tempted to go up to her. I'm like, could you say on sale for 99 cents?
On sale for 99 cents?
Yeah. So that's the story. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Hoi. And then... There you go.
Anyway.
Okay.
So
let's change the subject.
Yes, let's quickly change the subject before we offend anyone else.
We already did.
So you two had a bad weekend, from what I hear.
The worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, by you two, he means me, who they know who I am. But they don't know whose voice this is.
Oh, yes. So let's introduce people around the room who you might not have heard their voices yet. We have Katie.
Hi.
Katie is Justin's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then we have Chris. Say hi, Chris.
Hello.
Chris is one of going to be our new co-hosts on our restaurant segment called Two Fat Guys Eat.
Soon to be the FIT. The Fit.
Soon to be the Fit.
The Fit is go.
The Fit. The Fit is go.
No, no, he's not.
I've got a t-shirt with that now.
I have a question. What's contributing to the I in that acronym?
Fat guy in training.
In training.
In,
Well, I was saying take out the just, well.
Fat?
It really
the G is silent, you guys. The G is silent.
Well, I would say it's mean, a fatty.
See, thank you. You get it.
Yeah, I get
but
it.
But fatty is a more hurtful phrase than fat.
Fat guy.
Exactly. I don't
fat guy is one. It's one word.
I'm not trying to be hurtful.
Fat guy is one word.
I'm not trying to be hurtful. I was just saying it works better for the acronym.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't mind the T and the G touching.
You only use the one letter.
So fat guy will be lowercase, so it will be FIT.
There you go.
Fat guy in training.
There you go. So you only use the first letter.
I mean, I myself prefer to use the word ectomorph.
Yeah, but then it would
you
be
can
EIT,
into a clever acronym. If you can fit that into a clever acronym, by all means.
That actually, Jordan, you might be onto something.
Ectomorph.
Maybe. And then we have Elizabeth. Say hi, Liz.
Hello.
Liz is my girlfriend, and obviously you know Sean and Justin and Jordan.
Hi. And
myself.
You damn better know me.
Y'all know me.
Goddamn
ass.
Y'all know me.
Z, you know it's me.
It's okay. They don't know me.
I know. Well, that's why we introduced you.
I know.
Yeah. So
it's kind of awesome.
Yes. When I say them, I mean Justin and Katie didn't have that great of a weekend.
No.
Or I'm sorry, a Saturday night. I should say.
Oh, Saturday.
Saturday day into night.
Just the whole day.
Yeah.
So it was a shit show in the state of Wild and Wonderful.
West Virginia.
Well, let me just say, it was the country side of West Virginia.
Wow, good job.
Is there an O in country? Nope.
West Virginia can kiss my ass.
Not a fan.
No.
Country.
Well, that was the thing. You guys were in Martinsburg. That's where you're just about leaving society.
Yeah, I mean, I've had to travel through parts to get to Tennessee. I hate Virginia, but I hate West Virginia even more than I hate Virginia. Mm. So, I hate it a lot.
I hate West Virginia. They was fighting words.
Okay, so basically, there's an event. It's called the Tough Mudder competition. That's mudder with two D's.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Because, you know.
As in, hello, mudder, hello, father.
Yes.
Oh,
hello,
mudder.
Hello, father.
Keeping it classy with a Steve Allen reference.
As always.
Basically, it's like an 8-mile-long obstacle course through the mud, and it's... You know, it's not a race, it's a challenge. And it draws about 11,000 people annually. Apparently last year was in Frederick. I had no idea. I guess I must have been out of town that weekend, but you said that that 15 was completely shut down.
Yeah, but according to the news, which is the Frederick News Post, which is not that great of a news source, according to the Frederick News Post... They had to shut down 15 because the event was so disorganized that they didn't plan for parking. Now, we should have seen this as a sign that the one in Frederick was disorganized. So maybe, just maybe, this event would not...
Basically, they learned nothing.
Yeah.
From putting it on Frederick.
Kind of sounds like this.
I mean, Frederick's pretty classy. Let's put comparatively to West Virginia.
I'm guessing
if it was disorganized in some place that's historical, let's put it in West Virginia. And
well,
yeah,
I guess their thing was
I see it. Not
rather than trying to make it better, let's just make everything around it worse so it'll seem better by comparison. So it's already disorganized. If we move it to West Virginia, no one will notice.
Well, see, that's not being fair because there are certain areas in West Virginia that aren't horrible.
That's true.
Charlestown, races and spots. Zatarain's,
no,
spots of rice.
Well, I mean, Charlestown's okay. I've been to Morgantown. Morgantown's not that bad of a place. Jordan, you went to WVU, didn't you?
For a year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, Harper's Ferry is nice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I like Harper's Ferry.
I'm not saying I would want to live in West Virginia. Honestly,
compared to where I grew up, which is Oakland, Maryland, which is in Garrett County, the county in Maryland that the rest of Maryland wishes was West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Morgantown, compared to that, felt like I was in Times Square.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's all subjective.
Yeah, let's be fair. There's plenty of shitty parts of Maryland, too.
Oh, totally. But I know the area where you guys are saying this event took place, and yes, it's horrible. Yeah, okay. I totally agree with you.
So, yeah, we should have taken the disorganization in Frederick as a sign that maybe this would not be the best place for us to go. But the only thing I could see when I decided to take the job was dollar signs, because $13 an hour for 13 hours, that's pretty good money for one day. To me, at least.
No,
I don't know about people who make shitloads of money. I'm not one of those people.
I definitely don't know about people who make shitloads of money, but
I know they exist. I'm just not one of those people.
Right. And also, it seemed, like based on the description, it sounded like it would be an interesting event to work at.
Right. Because from what you just described, like an 8-mile-long obstacle course, it's kind of like, you know, you can imagine people falling on their faces and busting their asses. It's gonna be
expectable. The whole point is that they get muddy and dirty and just worn out. I mean, just in order to compete, just to get into the starting line, you have to scale an 8-foot-tall wall.
You telling me this is mud bogging with people?
11,000 people.
What?
Were said, not all at once. They have it in shifts. That would be insane.
We're going to protest these goobacks in this mud bog.
It's like 60 people have drowned today in a terrible accident in the mud bog.
I would be more worried about the trampoline.
Everyone decided to try the course at once.
I'd be more terrified. Now,
the race itself was organized because they had set start times every 15 minutes or so.
Okay.
So the race itself was probably a really good experience.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a blast.
And if I had been a participant in myself, I would have had a great, awesome time.
Yeah, I probably would have had a hernia just trying to get over the starting wall. So. But
picturing Justin trying to get through. I have all this mud on me. Can we do this without the mud?
My glasses are dirty. I can't see.
I mean, it's just a muscle just handing Sean his headphones earlier.
Yeah.
I should probably never.
Does anyone in this
couch.
Room think that they could enter this event?
I would like to actually participate. Eventually.
I would just to be in the mud.
I feel like it would honor my Boy Scouting experience.
That's what
I have to admit.
Like
I'm an Eagle Scout also, and yet somehow that wasn't enough to really make me much of an outdoors person in my adult life.
No, it's weird. neither me neither.
See, I was never really an outdoor person growing up, but like I love being outside, and I love I'm the kind of person I push myself to experience new things, and I push myself to be someone who accomplishes things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have been interested in the challenge of participating.
Yeah.
However, I will never participate in the challenge of selling people beer at the Tough Mudder ever again.
Which is what we were there to do. So the catering, so the entire event is sponsored by Dos Equis.
Mm-hmm.
Along with a number of other major organizations, not just organizations, corporations, BIC, there were at least six. Mm-hmm. There were at least six different corporations sponsoring it. The main one was Dos Equis. So
right.
Dos Equis supplied all the beer.
Mm-hmm.
There was a separate catering company was supplying the food and also doing the actual serving of beer, which is what we were doing. We were in the quote-unquote beer garden, which was not a very apt description because there were only two beers available. Dos Equis Lager and Dos Equis Amber.
Which, if you're thinking of an amber beer versus a lager beer, which do you think is the darker beer?
The amber beer.
I want to say the lager?
usually with most beer companies, the lager is the darker beer and the ale is the lighter beer. So we get people like the lager is like Dos Equis, like usual beer, which is like,
it's lager especial.
It's lighter, like it's lighter in color. It's not like a usual typical lager, which you're expecting to be dark.
Right. Honestly, I don't drink Dos Equis.
Well, I was going to say, let me ask you this, and you can tell me this. Was the most interesting man in the world present at this event?
No, but there was a giant poster with his face on it that said, if you have to sign a release form, it's probably worth doing.
I think that's a lie. Because obviously you two didn't have a good time. I bet you had to sign a form or two to start.
No,
which leads into it's a good segue to discuss. At no point did we sign in anywhere, check in anywhere. No one even asked for our goddamn names. They're just like, you go over there.
Yeah, no, the main guy.
More strong, faster.
So this is probably gonna come into play later, but the main guy, he's like, my name's Dan. I'm probably not gonna remember your name, so I'm just not gonna ask.
Yes.
I'm already liking this guy.
We'll come back to him.
We'll come back to Dan, but we'll tell the story chronologically.
Yeah, so we were told we had to be there at 5:30 in the morning, which seems very odd because I cannot imagine them serving beer until at least, well, I don't know. Who needs
like
beer that early?
10 or 11.
Yeah. No, they started at 9, but again, we'll come back to that as well. But so we had to get up at 4. In order to try and get there by like 5:30, and when we got there, we stood around for about 2.5 hours before someone finally told us where to go. The beer tent was not even set up. And again, there's no sign-in, no check-in, you know, they gave us no badge, no wristband, nothing to identify that we were there to work, as opposed to just stand around. So we get there, and there's a really nice view. You're up on this really tall ridge, and you can see the entire course from this hilltop, but you can't, I mean, you can see there's various structures, you can see a lot of the obstacles, so we get there, like, this should be pretty cool, except we get there, and it is freezing, just high winds, low temperatures, just all day, never got warm.
Mm-hmm.
At no point ever did I feel warm.
Mm-hmm. So, I couldn't feel my thumbs.
I know.
Luckily, you had gloves that you let me borrow,
we
which was really nice.
The
so
gloves.
Thanks.
Oh, Justin,
gloves.
You're such a nice
one. And some people came in shorts because, you know, we weren't expecting it to be
Emily,
this cold.
My friend Emily, who was the one who dragged us into this, well, she didn't drag. She asked us to volunteer, and so we agreed. But essentially, she dragged us into it.
Right.
It
was her idea.
Yes. She was the one who wore shorts because she's like, oh, we're going to be out in the sun all day. I better make sure that I'm not hot.
Well, she wasn't, so she was freezing. So finally we get into this beer tent, and it's about 8:30. And again, incredibly disorganized. There was no, you know, here's the schedule, here's what you're going to be doing, here's when you take breaks. Is how it works. It's just like, okay, we need 4 people to stand up front, and then we need 4 people to stand in the back, and then, you know, there's going to be a long lines, and so you guys need to be fast and stuff. So.
And stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
basically.
Stuff. Not here's, telling you, here's how to work the register, beep, boop, beep.
There's no register. It's cash only, $5 a beer, very simple. It was, as far as jobs go, very, very easy. Very easy job. There's 2 beers to choose from. They're both $5, cash only. Could not be simpler. So the job itself, I can't complain about too much because we basically got paid to stand around and talk.
Right.
Until, well, we'll get to that too. So 8:30 comes around, and 2 people actually come up to buy beer. And in fact, it was 8:25. I don't know who's drinking beer that early in the morning.
Alcoholics.
Yeah. So, okay, so we sell them the beer, and then they come back. Dan comes back, he's like, oh yeah, what are you doing? We're not supposed to start serving beer till 9 o'clock.
But you told us 8:30, dude.
Yes, you told us 8:30.
He told us 8:30.
So,
and then
2 other ladies come up, and they're like, hey, can we get some beer? And they're like, oh, sorry, we don't start serving till 9 o'clock. But they have beer.
Yes.
It's like,
my
direct, beer, I want beer.
My direct response was, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. Somebody told us that we would start at 8:30, but we were mistaken. We accidentally sold them beer. Come back at 9. Their noses go straight up in the air. They turn around and they're like, I want beer.
I want beer.
So then,
never coming back to this place.
I think the funny part about it, when they came back for their beer exactly at 9 o'clock, they didn't come up to Justin and me. They came up to the person that they hadn't talked to, because
what?
She had not interacted
with
them.
Yes, as if it was our personal decision to deny them beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't wait 30 minutes to get.
You have slighted me, and so I do not want to speak with you.
They were like the most entitled bitches. Because the one girl, she was wearing a gold Victoria's Secret giant purse.
So these are the sort of details you notice, I don't.
Like, she was wearing a gold Victoria's Secret purse that looked like she was carrying all her boyfriend's clothes, because she wasn't there to run the race. She would get her clothes dirty.
Who wears a purse to an endurance event?
No.
Who does that?
No.
I remember going on a nature walk with a woman who came in an evening gown and sandals.
Well, Colin, apparently you don't know the gold selection sale that for this purse is. So I'm just going to stuff my boyfriend's clothes in there.
Because they would not be running the race. It would be way too dirty for them.
But spectating, watching other people do it. Yeah, that's
cool. So this guy Dan, who's in charge, who he looks exactly like Rob Corddry.
Yes, exactly like Rob Corddry.
So
which
imagine.
Led me to put up a very misleading Facebook status, which I must apologize for.
And we were all like, oh, but I thought Rob Corddry was cool.
I know, I know. No, I had actually had two people comment on this. They're like, what? I love Rob Corddry, though. Like,
John Stewart would be disappointed in you.
What the hell would Rob Corddry be doing in West Virginia at the Tough Mudder competition? Granted,
what would insert celebrity's name here be doing in West Virginia?
Period. Anywhere in West Virginia.
I was gonna say, to be fair,
with
the exception of Morgan Spurlock.
Well,
to be fair, Liz and I saw John Oliver in Maryland, but I mean.
But at
right
campus,
in Maryland,
so.
Maryland, not
Maryland is civilization,
not Virginia,
but West Virginia.
Maryland is civilization. West Virginia, the uncultured masses.
Justin, you should be like, celebrity wants me, wants you guys to give me money, and then maybe everybody will believe it.
Ding.
Yeah. So, Graham, I was exhausted, and I guess I. when I came back and posted that status, I don't know why I thought posting an inside joke to everyone on Facebook would be appropriate. But then I had
I tweeted finger
like,
button, yeah.
I had to go be like, just to let you guys, just to clarify, I did not meet Rob Corddry. I love Rob Corddry, based on his work. And
I actually just came up with a perfect title for this episode.
What?
Rob Corddry is not a dick.
Oh, if Rob Corddry, if you're listening... I very much would like to meet you.
I'm
a big fan of you and your comedy. And I just... I loved you in Hot Tub Time Machine. I just want you to know that this guy...
But your doppelganger is a dick.
This guy, while he may have your face, does not have anywhere near your talent.
He doesn't have your soul.
I was about to say the same thing.
Rob Corddry's doppelganger is a dick.
So let's list off the things that this dick
has
said.
Say that 6 times fast.
All right, so we're about 10 minutes into the start of the event. I have a purse. Hey, Dan, what should I do with my purse? You should leave it in your car. That's not helpful at all. That's counterproductive.
Well, we didn't. So what should we do with it?
Car?
And... I mean, everything this guy said was either incomprehensible, extremely sarcastic, or just extremely unhelpful. And, I mean, he'd come up and be like, okay, so when do we take a break, Dan? He's like, well, anytime you're not working, you're on a break. That's not how breaks work.
No, no, that's not the classification of a break there, Daniel.
I'm just astonished. This is exactly the kind of guy who would say something like, and this probably my all-time least favorite line that managers like to use with their employees. If you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. Now, he didn't use that line, but it would. That's the sort of line that would be coming out of Dan's mouth. So, let's see. There's these heaters, okay? It's like I said, it was extremely cold. So the nice people at the event set up these space heaters in the beer area.
Because they figured that's where people were going to be.
Well, okay, again, this was I don't know why they were calling this the beer garden, because this was just the main area where most of the people were.
It's right by the exit. It's the way
also,
to get out.
Also, beer garden, I mean, beer garden is multiple beers, not just two.
Right.
Two is multiple. It qualifies.
If you went to a garden and it only had, if you were in a garden and it only had two types of plants in it,
you'd be pissed.
This is not a garden.
It's a bullshit garden.
Yeah. Right, we got flowers and we got pine trees.
Hey, Justin, there's our new t-shirt. This garden is bullshit.
This garden is bullshit. Okay. So they have these heaters and they put one right in front of our tent, which I was like, ooh, nice. And so all these people are crowding in front of it. And so, you know, they're kind of right in front of where the line, and I'm saying that in quotes, would be, because at no point during the day was there anything remotely resembling a line. And I'll get to the reason why in a second. But Dan comes up and he sees this heater and he sees this huge crowd of people standing around the heater. And he says, they put this heater here? Is that a rhetorical question? Yes, clearly. It's right there. That's where they put it. Why are you asking? And so proceeds to go get some gloves and just shove his way into, like, doesn't even say excuse me, just shoves his way into the middle of these people and lifts up the heater and drags it away, which, of course, causes all the people to just follow him.
Hey, he's taking the warmth. Follow him.
And then I
follow him. He is the light of the world.
I see him take off the gloves, and they're like regular work gloves. He takes these things off. He's like, oh, that's hot. I'm like, yeah.
No shit.
You're damn right. It's hot. It's a
you
space
damn skip
and the Darwin Award
heaters
goes
are hot. Now, this was shortly after I saw a guy burn a hole in his track pants from standing too close to it. And he had this dopey-looking grin on his face, like, oh, whoops.
And so here's this jackass just picking it up by its front and just like, da-da-da-da-da, ah!
So, dude, you almost caught yourself on fire.
Man, that exhaust sure gets hot.
And so upon seeing this, the people running the event are like, oh, these things are hot. Maybe that could present a safety hazard. So they bring all these fire extinguishers. And, of course, our tent is right next to most of the heaters. They put the fire extinguishers in the tent.
Right, so at least some of the event planners know what they're doing.
Not really.
Do these haters get hot from time to time?
Because only after they turn the heaters on, they're like, oh, fire.
Yes, and at this point,
perfect.
The heaters had already been
at
running.
At least they did it, though.
The heaters had been running for 2 hours at this point.
Oh, well.
And I saw that guy burn a hole in his pants within the first 5 minutes of them turning it on.
Okay.
So if they had a guy, like, there was already a... Someone actually did almost catch on fire, and they had no extinguishers anywhere nearby. 2 hours later, finally, they bring in at about 10 extinguishers, which now that just seems like overkill. But so, Emily points this out specifically, as she mentioned later.
Someone lights up a cigarette.
Specifically to fuck with Dan, just to see what kind of reaction he has. She's like, hey, they sure are putting a lot of fire extinguishers in this tent. And he's like, who's putting all these damn fire extinguishers in here? the guy who's putting them there is standing right there. He's like, yeah, you know, it's for safety.
Absolute
for
intolerance for heat and absence of heat.
And he's like, yeah, he does not want anyone to... He's like,
I'm not responsible for these.
He's like, we are not responsible for these fire extinguishers. He's like, no one said you were. He's like, yeah, well, if anything happens to these fire extinguishers, it's on you. Who's going to steal fucking fire extinguishers?
You guys should, so you'll have one for your new apartment.
That's, yeah, I should have.
Yeah, why didn't we?
I don't know. So, let's get to the reason that there was never any line, and that is because, in addition to our beer area, there was a little, like, VIP bar area, which was also completely empty, because of the third thing, which was the free beer area.
Because every... Yes, there was a free beer tent.
Visual reference and audio podcast. Chris just gave us a look. He's like...
Free beer while they're... Okay.
So everyone who participated in this event, and also anyone who bought a special spectator ticket, received a free beer from Dos Equis. For most people, that's enough. Because Dos Equis is not that good.
No.
One beer is enough.
No.
It's it's
most, they have, only need one beer at a stupid running event.
Yes, I stay thirsty for other beer.
Yes, it actually, stay thirsty is an appropriate slogan because you'll drink Dos Equis and then immediately
I want to try something else.
Okay.
It's still taught a generation of school children what the Spanish word for X is.
Yeah.
Except for me.
It's X.
There's
two X's on a label.
Okay. So leaving off.
I get it now that you've explained it. I get it now.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I did it before.
Dos is two.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a free beer tent where all the participants and spectators get free beer. And so almost no one is coming up to buy beer. I mean, we had long stretches of time where just no one came up to buy beer. And then there's this bullshit, like, VIP bar or something. It's not really a VIP bar. It was just a different bar, but it was on a stage. It looked special. No one was going over there. No one. And so at some point, Dan comes over and he's like, I need someone to 10 bar over at the other bar because we had to fire the other guy who was drinking. Because he was bored out of his fucking mind. Because there was no one to serve beer to.
While I'm sitting here and there's nobody, I'm just gonna drink this.
You know what? We can't blame the guy.
You know what?
So,
fuck the $13.
So here's my experience. My experience was, well, this is a bad time right now, but at least I have my friends to talk to. Mm-hmm. Then Dan comes over. I need someone to 10 bar. Stupid me. I should have just stared at my shoes.
Anywhere but him.
And not even knowledge, not English. But being a semi-professional person, I'm like, I guess if nobody else wants to, I'll do it. Not realizing that he's gonna put me on a fucking island all by myself, trying to serve beer to no one. The fucking kegs didn't even work because nobody was buying beer. And so when one person came up to buy beer, I had to go through two different cups just to get not foam.
Yeah, it's just all head. Because they weren't being used, so they were
it was settling.
Legitimately, in good conscience, could not serve this guy
shit beer.
I went over there eventually.
What I told him, I was like, here's your $5 back. Go to the other tent.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I tried to pour a beer for that guy, and I was like, you know what, I'll just give you your $5 back.
And it was just...
Was the same dude came over later for you?
No, I don't know. But eventually I felt bad, because she was over there for a good 2 hours, just by herself, occasionally texting me.
I'm bored, Justin.
I felt bad, so I went over there and relieved her. I was like, you know what, go back to the main tent. I'll take over here.
He's a good guy.
I know.
It was really nice.
So let me get this straight. We got the three levels here. We have coach, well, essentially coach. So this is like Southwest going, okay, coach tickets are free. You can ride the airplane for free. All right, second class, we charge you a little bit of money. Third class, we charge you a shitload of money. But you still fly for free. And so basically what you're telling me is... They have free beer, but they're still trying to charge people for it.
The analogy would be...
Like the internet.
Well, let's say the analogy is this. Coach is free. All right, then you have... Is there anything between coach and first class?
Business class.
Okay, so we'll say business class is $5, and no one's riding it.
And first class.
Then you have first class is also $5, and even less people are riding it. But... The problem with that analogy is that what we did not mention is that there's even a fourth level. Because not only... Here's the stage...
We could call that the luggage room.
So the stage.
The luggage room.
That wasn't really the VIP area, actually. That was just a bar on the stage.
Right.
I was calling it the VIP, but there was an actual VIP area. So the, what Dos Equis had done is they had built this massive structure, this massive stage with stairs leading up a good 20 feet to a roof on top that's overhanging the stage. Where that was supposed to be the special VIP area because, you know, you would be like all the way up. You'd have a, an amazing view for miles. You'd be able to see the course. Problem is, it's so goddamn cold and so goddamn windy. If you walked up there, because we walked up there to help load stuff up there, you could feel the entire structure shaking because of how windy it is. So no one, not even the people working it, were up there.
There's been accidents before.
And it led me to, because I had a lot of time to just sit around and think because there was nothing to do, it led me to think that this is a phenomenon I've seen before where the VIP section is the section that no one wants to go to. Because think about it. Would you rather be in the special section by yourself or would you rather just be where everybody else is? Obvious choice. And so to me, it's an interesting thing where VIP sections are these things where you pay exorbitant amounts of money simply for status and then proceed to have a terrible time because no one wants to go in the VIP section.
That's actually a very good point.
The common man is happier than the VIP.
That's why we're common, because there's so many of us.
No one. You don't want to be a VIP. Being a VIP sucks.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't even give you, like bottle service or something.
I'm sure they did, but that's what I'm saying. What good is having a special section with special seats, with special amenities, if you have to do it by yourself?
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. Yeah.
True.
But, so... I when Justin relieved me, as he was so nice, I went back over to the other tent, which was the one we had started at.
Uh-huh.
And then I got bored there, and I just walked back over and hung out with Justin.
Yeah.
Because I was just bored out of my mind.
At this point, it's about 5 o'clock, so we've already been here for 12 hours. And they were like, yeah, so you guys can leave probably around 7. Like, oh my god, another 2 hours. And so we just sat in that bar area, and we played crossword puzzles on her phone.
Words with friends.
Fabulous. Yeah. Got paid to play crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
And so finally, 7 o'clock rolls around, we can go. Even though, again, just to go back to the recurring theme of Dan was a dick, at about 6:15, he comes up to the stage, like, realizes there's absolutely no one here. They should have closed that thing at 5 o'clock. But he's like, sees that there's nothing happening, that we've just been standing here, and says, all right, at 7, you guys can go back over there. It's like, what, you're going to make us stand here for another 45 minutes for no reason. So he does, and we do. And so finally, this guy, Dean, who is Dan's boss, and was one of the most terrifying individuals I've ever seen. I can't exactly explain why.
Dean was terrifying. He wore these Ed Hardy jeans with, like, stencil pocket thingies. Like imagine pants that a douchebag would wear.
But on a 50-year-old man.
Oh, yeah. The horror.
He wore a blue shirt that kept getting dirtier and dirtier.
So Mr. Midlife Crisis, essentially.
Basically. Because he had bleached blonde hair.
Was it spiked? Oh, please tell me it was.
He was wearing a hat.
Oh.
No, it wasn't spiked, but it was...
You could tell it was...
It was tended to.
For a moment, I thought you were describing Guy Fieri, and I was like, oh, God, that would have been horrifying.
But, I mean... I think the most terrifying thing about him was his eyes and the way he just looked angry.
I was trying to figure out what was so terrifying about it. It was his eyes. He just
consistently looked angry, and he consistently just
stared right through you.
He had such a gaze that, like,
it would pierce the very being of your essence.
So it was like a skinny hipster Lewis Black.
Yes, except with the 1,000-yard stare of a Vietnam veteran.
Yeah.
Somebody draw this. We need a sketch artist.
Yeah.
And yet, strangely enough, I much, much preferred him to Dan because...
Because Dean knew what he was doing. He knew how to give people direction. Like,
and he was
all
business.
He may have yelled at you, But you knew where you stood.
Yeah. And he just came up, told you this is what, he told you what to do, and then he left, assuming you could do it. That was it. You didn't have to stay around to make some snarky comment, didn't have to roll his eyes or try and make a joke, because Dan thought he was hilarious. Dean's just like, here's what you're going to do, and then he leaves. And so...
Oh, Justin, weren't you telling me that, what was his face? Rob Corddry took a shine to you?
Oh, so, I didn't mention that, mainly because it would mostly involve visual references. But
that's okay.
That's never stopped us before.
Nope.
So, I guess Rob Corddry thought that I was on his side for some reason, because every time he would walk past the tent, he would shoot me these looks that kind of, like, you know, raised eyebrows, like, you know, hey, see what I'm dealing with here? So you can, that's sort of like, you can relate, right? That look that people give each other. When
yo, dog, like, you down?
That sort of raised eyebrows, just, you know, why, like, see what I'm dealing with? And I just stare back. And I just stare back at him completely blank-faced, because it amazed me that he did not realize that I hated him just as much as everyone else did. I'm just like, I don't see what you're doing with.
No.
You're an asshole.
So
you see what I'm dealing with?
Yeah. Everything, yes, I'm dealing every with you. Every problem that you are dealing with is one that you created, because you, the most basic thing you have to do, which is managing people, you can't do it. You fail at your job, sir. You should not have your job.
You okay? Stole fizzy lifting drinks. Good day, sir.
So no, I cannot relate, because you are the problem, okay? Everyone else is not the problem. You are the problem. So...
And now you know. And knowing's half the battle.
G.I.
Joe. So finally, Dean, 7 o'clock, Dean comes up and, like, gives us our money. But nope, just before Dean can hand us our money, Dan, like, jumps in with some cleaning product and paper towels. Like, first you guys need to wipe off this bar that has barely been used at all. And Dean's standing there watching, and even he's impatient.
He's such like, abbreviated, Richard.
Oh my he's God. Ready to just hand us the money, and Dan's like, no, you gotta clean the bar first. And everybody's just... Because Emily had walked over, Robbie, who was the other person, who was Emily's husband, who was there with us, they're just... Everyone's standing around watching us clean this bar, and we all want to leave. And we have to sit there and scrub down this bar. And then finally, Dean hands us the money, and Dan goes, man... You guys sure did a lot of work today, huh? Like, in this extremely snarky tone. And oh my God, did I just want to slap his
sarcasm
face off of his face. Like,
yeah.
As if it's somehow our fault that there was no business.
like we were the problem. What it comes down to, if he had walked up and treated me professionally, because I have 8 years of customer service experience and money experience, if he had walked up and said, all right, you have this experience, this is what I expect of you, this is what we're going to do today, this is what your expectations are, and this is how I'm going to treat you. If he had treated me professionally, then I would have acted like a professional. However, because... because
instead he treated us like that
because he treated
you,
me
and he
like
treats
shit.
You like a child you're gonna you know,
yeah
you're gonna
he
be
treated
a child
us like that kid
exactly.
In the Simpsons
yeah.
the teenage
the
kid the crack voice
his official name is Squeaky Voiced Teen.
That is his actual official he treated
yes.
Us like Squeaky Voiced Teen.
Although he fits in pretty well
we
with
serve beer here.
He fits in pretty well with comic book guy and sea captain.
That's true. I guess he's not the only one with a descriptive
like, if he had treated me like a professional, then I would have acted like a professional. But he treated me like a child, so I didn't feel bad for acting like myself.
Yeah,
wasn't that a great story?
Great story.
Let's
it
hope it never happens again.
Also, I'm extremely sunburned, which another thing that you can't
visual reference
see,
audio podcast.
But
yeah.
I just my face is burned. My nose was just running for 13 hours straight, just constant.
You look like you had a Belgian
fluid.
Dip in tomato soup.
Yeah, just my face is leaking fluid.
Mm. And it was funny because earlier yesterday, I came upon some news that I thought Justin might find you know awesome. Justin's a music aficionado, so I was like,
our local record store. It was record store. It was National Record Store Day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to the record store, and they had this huge sale. Everything was like 30% off. So I was like, I need to tell Justin about this. He's going to freak out.
Yeah.
So I call him. He's like, what? I'm like,
Was it actually that?
Yeah, you were pretty pissed off.
I didn't realize that.
No, dude, after hearing what happened, I totally understand. Yeah, no, trust me. You know, I totally understand. I didn't think you were being pissy with me. I just like, you, like, when, as soon as you told me, he's like, dude, I'm at this bullshit event right now. Can I just call you later? I'm like, yeah, sure. It's like, oh man, he's getting shit on.
Right. So that's what makes the whole thing even worse. Not only was the event just shitty, but considering how many better things I could have been doing yesterday, it was record store day, and it was 420. There are many other activities I could have been doing instead of being in West Virginia.
Like celebrating Hitler's birthday.
Right.
Or Charlie Chaplin's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have the same mustache?
Yeah, wait, and the same birthday.
The same birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's a celebration of the mustache base.
I can never watch The Red Dictator the same way again.
Mm. But yeah, it's when he told me that, I was like, oh, now this $50 Wii I bought, the luster is gone now. I feel bad.
Oh, I ruined your Wii.
No, it's
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, my sadness.
It's not like he took a Sharpie and drew his face on it. Going,
not like he drew a penis on it. I'll still get enjoyment out of it. I felt bad because your day was ruined.
Yeah, you were taking advantage of all those great bargains.
Yes.
And I was just being taken advantage of.
I know. I felt horrible about it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, my good news has totally ruined his day.
So, I mean, we got paid. Was it worth it?
No.
Just saying.
I was trying to calculate how much they would have to offer me in order to get me to come back and work again today, because it was going on today as well.
Mm.
And I was like, $200, $300 an hour? I don't know.
Probably about the same amount of money they'd have to pay Stephen Hawking to go back to the STTP Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would reply, you can't afford me.
Yes. Multiply that by the amount of money they'd also have to pay us to go and do Kaim for me.
Well, I think that story's pretty much wrapped up. You hit all the points of there. I think we should just kind of do some plugs and, you know, end the show.
What plugs?
Plugs.
But
Colin,
plugs?
It's but plugs. Ow! All right. So.
You know what
we totally cocked that up.
I just admire your commitment to a bit that was not
never
really
funny.
Funny.
Never funny.
Nope,
it didn't work. It never worked the first
time.
That
was the thing. It never worked if you just said the joke. The only time it was ever funny was when I was able to use it in a video show, and I actually put BUT, plugs,
right,
and then in parentheses underneath, no, seriously, it's commercial plugs. Get your mind out of the gutter, you perverts.
Yeah, this is like Tiny Tim all over again. Just something that's only funny to us.
Yeah.
Well, speaking about butt plugs, you can find a lot of things at Amazon. So go to castwaystudios.com/Amazon to do all your shopping and whatnot. And so, yeah, that supports the show and does stuff like that.
Let's see. So many shows we need to plug. Okay. BGN at the Movies. We're starting back up soon. The first episode of Inspired Lunacy is going to be out soon.
Soonish.
Yes.
Soonish.
Totally.
Let's see. Jordan just put up a new episode of his show Geek Critique.
Yes. I posted episode number 9 about the CGI Spider-Man TV show that none of you have ever heard of because it was on MTV.
Hmm. And, yeah, this is true. This is true.
That doesn't even sound like a real thing.
No, I'm
are you trolling us?
I have proof, sir. Just go to youtube.com/THESYNAPZE or coming soon to blip.tv/geek-critique.
And
see for yourself.
Yes, and Chris and I will be starting up our show Two Fat Guys Eat pretty soon. It's in the planning phase right now. Well, actually, I'd like to have the first episode up by Memorial Day.
That sounds like reasonable.
That's a good goal.
I mean, I think we could easily come up with, like, the first like the outline for like the first five episodes by then. Because basically it's just gonna be like, okay, we're going to go here and we're going to eat.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple film. Show structure.
Eat. Mm-hmm. And then we're gonna Chew. Come back here and we're going to shit.
Ew.
Deleted shit scenes on the show.
On is the rest of the show.
No, hold on. Wait.
And this is our other show. This is our other. This is our other video.
Wait. So how long? How long the shit are we going to be at the restaurant before we come back here?
I meant, let me finish.
That's part of the show.
No cameras in the bathroom.
No, it's not part of the show. Let me finish, Daniel. I was going to say we were going to shit all over the restaurant. I bet we're critiquing it. Damn you, people! Get your minds out of the gutter.
On behalf of Brian Massey, I wanted to mention the next Beach End Comic Shop. That's a really hard act to follow.
It's a shit show. What can I say?
Zing. We are going to shit.
We're going to shit all over the restaurant.
So if
wait, what?
So now, Colin.
Let's go to family meal.
You are never going to get any sponsors that way.
Okay.
So, Colin, if Rob Corddry is not a dick, does not work for you as a possible episode title. We have another one.
What's that?
No. Vito.
So on the next BGN Comic Shop, Brian and I we're pushing forward on some of the more major crossover events of DC and Marvel. Brian has the privilege of talking about Blackest Night, which is about the Green Lanterns, which he loves with all of his heart, and is just
is
chomping at the bit to gush about. And I am going to be reporting on Marvel's Civil War. Which, reading Marvel Civil War does make me want to punch my brother in the face.
I don't need your Civil War.
I mean, maybe I just want to punch anyone in the face after reading Civil War.
Not it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-mm. What?
Yeah. Nothing.
So, should we ask Liz or Katie if they have anything to plug?
Do you have anything to plug?
Twitter's?
Just my nose.
You know, libraries are good.
Libraries are good.
Visit your local library.
There you go.
I like
read.
Cats.
It's an adventure.
Cats are good.
And Katie likes cats. Chris, you got anything to plug?
It's hard to argue.
Also, these guys have a band, and it's amazing. Oh. Steven and the Hawkins.
Well, we didn't even tell her to say that.
They're really
good.
Wow.
That came out unprovoked?
No, they're legit.
That's a first,
like,
actually.
Good.
Justin, how completely, often do you talk about
completely
that?
Completely unsolicited testimonial.
Legit.
Fabulous.
I'm a fan.
Oh, that's
awesome.
That's nice.
So nice.
That's so
it's
nice.
Really,
that
it's really
is.
Great.
And you guys don't know what to say because
we're not used to it.
We're not used. No, this is like first time was unsolicited comment.
Yeah.
Directly into a podcast.
We don't have anything snarky to say.
Yeah.
We're legitimately touched.
Yeah.
There are real tears coming from my eyes right now.
Everywhere you look,
but I think it's because I laughed really, really hard at the I'm going to eat, then I'm going to come back and shit.
You wanna come home to...
You should probably call this a show.
Three daddies?
I think, there goes Sean singing the Full House theme, which
means
it's the end of the show. So, until next time, he's Sean, he's Justin, he's Jordan, I'm Colin, and it's Boldly Going Nowhere.
Outro.
Hey, that's my line.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.